If you'll open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5. I want to show you one of the shortest verses in the Bible, and to me, one of the most interesting verses in all of the Bible. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, and in verse number 17, the Bible simply says these three words: pray without ceasing. Say that with me. Pray without ceasing. Now, last Wednesday night, if you were here, you remember that we talked about the importance of having a disciplined prayer life. In other words, where we have a time each day where we get alone and we talk to God through prayer, we listen to God through Bible reading, and just through listening to God's Spirit. And so there's no substitute for having a quiet time every day. And I encourage you to do that. I did a whole sermon on it last week. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. It can be a brief period of time, but we all need some time in the course of a day when we can get alone and pray and talk to God. Now, in addition to that, we read this verse tonight in Thessalonians where Paul said that we are to pray without ceasing. And so that is an interesting verse if you think about it. It makes you wonder, what did Paul mean by that? Did he mean when he said pray without ceasing that you're supposed to always be talking to God? That there are always supposed to be words going from your lips to God's ears? Well, I don't think that's what he meant at all. Did Paul mean that we're supposed to all quit our jobs, neglect our families, and neglect every other responsibility in life, and that our whole life is to be one extended quiet time? Well, no, I don't think that's what Paul meant at all. But what did he mean? It is in the Bible, pray without ceasing. What in the world does that mean? Well, let me give you some things you might want to jot down tonight that I think answer that question. First of all, when we think about praying without ceasing, certainly it has with it the idea of being always in a spirit of prayer. Always in a spirit of prayer. And so, no, it doesn't mean one unending quiet time, but it means wherever you are and whatever you're doing, you're always in a spirit of prayer, that you're always mindful of God. God is always on your mind, and that you are always thinking about Him. Now, I'll give you an illustration that just happened to me about an hour and a half ago, that on the one hand, I think I did something wrong, but on the other hand, I think I was doing something right that made me do something wrong. Don't you like to justify your sins like that? I always feel better when I do something wrong if I can explain it away. Well, I've always thought that if a person is in a spirit of prayer, I've always used this illustration. One of the ways you can know that you are in a spirit of prayer is if you go out to a restaurant to eat and you were talking to God on the way to the restaurant, you were mindful of God's presence while you were going into the restaurant, when you sat down at your table, when you ordered your meal, you were mindful of God. You may have been in a conversation with God. And so sometimes when that happens, you forget to say the prayer before the meal. And that just happened. I got back to church from where I had gone to eat, and I thought, this thought just came to my mind. Did you pray before you ate that meal? And I don't think I did. But the reason I didn't is because I was praying before I would have prayed. I mean, I was already praying. And so, yes, I should have remembered to have bowed my head and prayed for the meal. Certainly, we should always do that. But I guess the point I'm making is, one of the ways you can gauge whether or not you're praying without ceasing is if you are at a restaurant and you're talking about sports, what your family did that day, work, the weather, the stock market, all these other things, and you sit down with your family or whoever you're eating with, and you're talking about all those things, and then somebody says, hey, wait a second, before we eat, we have to pray. Well, if you're talking about all those things, and that's where you're, not that it's wrong to talk about those things, but if that's where your heart is, and that's where your mind is, and you're having to rein yourself back in to God, well, probably you weren't praying without ceasing. You were not in a spirit of prayer. It doesn't mean that you were in a bad spirit. It just means that God was not necessarily on your mind. And so it dawned on you, hey, wait a second, I better think about God. Better have my prayer before I have this meal. And I've certainly done that many times, and I'm sure you have too. But to pray without ceasing means that we're always in a spirit of prayer. It doesn't mean that we're always talking to God or that we're always reading our Bible. No, but it means that we're always aware of the presence of God. Those of you who are married, and you go on trips with your spouse, of course, and let's just play like that tomorrow you said, hey, we're going to go to San Antonio for a couple of days and stay on the Riverwalk and eat some good food and have a little excursion there in San Antonio. Well, more than likely, you're going to get in your car in the morning, you're going to head out, get on I-10 and go west. You'll probably be talking amongst yourselves for the first 30 minutes of that trip, but more than likely, out there somewhere on I-10, one of you is going to get quiet. And maybe the other one would wish you would get quiet. But more than likely, if you're driving for 3 hours to San Antonio, it's not going to be uninterrupted chatter. I mean, I hope for both of your sakes that it's not. I hope that somebody, you know, turns the radio on at some point and let it kind of rest. But my point is, you're not talking to each other, but you are aware of each other's presence. You know that you're not in the car by yourselves. You have the other person on your mind. And I think one of the things Paul meant when he said that we are to pray without ceasing, I think what he's saying is, don't ever get in a situation out there in life where you're doing something that you're no longer mindful of God, that God is no longer on your mind. So stay in a spirit of prayer. I think a second thing that he means when he says pray without ceasing is that we need to develop a sensitivity to God's Spirit. A sensitivity to God's Spirit. You remember in the Bible, in the Old Testament, we read that God's voice is a still, small voice. So God doesn't yell at us. God doesn't scream at us. Sometimes I'll hear somebody say, well, you know, God had to get my attention, so He just beat me upside the head. Well, I know what a person means when they say that, but strictly speaking, I don't think that's the God of the Bible, that He's beating us upside the head. I think God does speak to us. I think God uses circumstances sometimes to get our attention, and sometimes it's more extreme than others. But as a general rule, God's voice is a gentle voice. One of the translations says it's like a gentle whisper. And so to pray without ceasing means that we have learned, or we are learning, to be sensitive to His Spirit, to identify His voice. I think probably in all of our lives, I think about my own life, how many times God has probably spoken to me and led me to do something or led me not to do something, and for whatever reason, I was not sensitive to His Spirit. Maybe God was speaking to me through another person. Maybe God was just speaking to me through His own Spirit, through circumstances, but maybe I wasn't praying without ceasing, and I wasn't in that spirit of prayer, and as a result, I was not as sensitive to God's Spirit. Remember in the Bible, the Spirit of God is likened to a dove. Remember when Jesus was baptized, and He came up out of that water, and the Bible says the Spirit of God came and landed on Jesus in the form of a dove. A dove is a very gentle animal. Most birds are that way. And so to recognize God's voice, we have to be sensitive. We, first of all, have to be in a spirit of prayer where we're mindful of His presence. We're not so busy thinking about everything else that we have forgotten about God. So we're mindful of His presence, and we're sensitive to the promptings of His Spirit, to what He might tell us to do. I'll give you probably the most recent example that, or one of the most recent examples that I have had with this happened to me last week. I have been wanting to write a book called The Problem with Procrastination. And I've been putting that off for about 3 years. I've been procrastinating that. And so I knew I needed to do it. And last Monday night, I was home. It was about 9 o'clock. And it was just like God spoke to me in my heart. I just had a desire to do something. And it was like God said, why don't you go in your study and write out the introduction to this booklet? You know, getting started is the hardest part. When you just sit down, I think it's that way when you're in school and you're writing research papers. I always thought when you sit down and there's a blank piece of paper and a pen, or if you write on a computer and there's an empty computer screen, that is one of the most discouraging things in the whole world. And so you just look at it and you just look like there's nothing. So it's like I thought, well, if I'll just sit down and start. And so I did. I stayed in there for about an hour and I wrote an introduction. And then I went to bed. And Tuesday and Wednesday, I was busy doing other things. And on Thursday afternoon, I had a little lull in the action, which is a little bit unusual for me on a Thursday. But I had a little window of 3 or 4 or 5 hours. And so it was like God just put on my heart, instead of wasting this time, why don't you sit down and write a little bit more? And so I did. And I wrote about, maybe 12 or 14, 16 pages in that block of time. And I knew I had about 16 or 20 more pages to go before this thing would be finished. And so on Friday, I had gone to visit somebody that I needed to see. And I was coming to the church. And I thought, well, I'm going to go to church. And I'm going to try to write about 10 or 15 pages on this book. And I was driving down Fairmont Parkway to the church. I had everything over there in the passenger seat, all my writing materials, everything I needed to write. And I was driving down Fairmont, and it was like God said to me, if you go to the church right now, no telling who you're going to see, no telling who you're going to get in a conversation with, because I'm a talker. I mean, if I see somebody, I'm going to start talking. And I'm going to just waste a lot of time. And it was just like God said, if you'll go home, I think you'll be a lot more productive. And so I just changed my plans. I went home, went back in my study, probably about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon now. And I wrote until about 6 o'clock. I took a little break to go have dinner and do some other things. About 9 o'clock last Friday night, I went back in my study and wrote for about another hour, and I completely finished it. And I thought, now you know, only God could have caused me to write a booklet. You know, normally if I do a booklet, I miss some preaching. I miss like a Wednesday night because I'll just block out 3 or 4 days and I don't do anything else. But last week, I did everything I would normally do, plus I got the booklet written. But the only reason is because the Lord was telling, it's like He was giving me clues. It was like He was saying, do a little bit here, do a little bit here, do a little bit here. Don't go to church, right? Go back home. Get where you can be the most productive. And so what I'm saying is, if we will listen, God will speak to us, and God will give us thoughts, and God will give us insights, but we have to be listening, and we have to be sensitive to His Spirit. Because again, God's not going to yell at you. Most likely, God's not going to speak audibly at you. God is going to speak right down here in your heart, a still, small voice, a gentle whisper. It's a dove. It's very tender when God speaks. And so we have to be sensitive, and we have to be listening. And, you know, I always hate to tell people how to do too many things in your personal life. But I just am convinced, I can't even say this for you, I can only say this for me. I have to have times in the course of a day, and you just listen to what I do and apply it to your life if the shoe fits. And if it doesn't fit, stay in your shoes. But I have to have some times in my day where I don't have the television on, I don't have the radio on, I'm not on the telephone, I'm not texting, I'm just kind of away from all that. I don't mean for the whole day. I just mean for parts of the day to try to listen to God, to try to pray, and to get somewhere. You know what I've noticed? I've noticed in my own life, if I will be disciplined enough to block out some time just for me and God, well, you just would call it your quiet time. You know, there are a lot of days when God speaks to me during that moment. And yet, there are a lot of times when I'll have a quiet time and I don't necessarily hear anything from God. But later on in the day, it's like God will tell me, God will put something on my heart that I don't think He would have told me unless I would have had that time earlier in the day. And I look at my life and I think, you know, God, in fact, this is one of the things I put in my prayer book. I say, God, I ask You to restore the years that I have lost in my life, especially when it comes to my prayer life. Now, I've always prayed and believed in prayer, most always, but I hear other Christians, pastors, preachers, but just Christian people, not in the ministry in that sense, talk about their prayer life sometime, and I think, you know, these people have been more devout than I have been. They've been more disciplined. They have been more dedicated to prayer. And I've just started praying, God, restore the years. You know, there's a wonderful verse in the Bible in Joel chapter 2, in verse 25, where God said, I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Say that with me. I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. And so I think we have to just say, God, I look back on my life. I wish I would have prayed better when I was a teenager. I wish I would have prayed more, you know, whatever. But I can't go back. I can only begin today. And so, Lord, make me a man of prayer. You could, ladies, say, Lord, make me a woman of prayer and restore the years and give me a sensitivity. I'm reluctant to share too many illustrations because it's just too personal, but I will give you one more. We've been meaning to make, 3 or 4 times a year, we'll do a little commercial to get out there and try to encourage people about, you know, usually we do it for the singing Christmas tree or Easter or the 4th of July, and we'll do a little commercial, put it on Comcast or whatever thing out there. Hey, we're from First Baptist. We want to invite you to come to the singing Christmas tree or come spend Easter with us or the patriotic musical. And those are good commercials, and I'm thankful we're able to do those. But, you know, I had a thought, I don't know, a couple of months ago. I thought, I would like to see us make a commercial, a little 30-second commercial. And yes, we tell them who we are, and we tell them we're at First Baptist Church. But instead of just inviting them to come to the church, in other words, instead of that being the primary purpose of the commercial, how about if we just took 30 seconds and tried to say something to them about God that would encourage them in their spiritual life? And so that was what was on my heart. And so I told our guys here that. I said, I want us to make a commercial. I don't want us to invite people to church. I hope they'll come. We'll put the name of our church at the bottom of the screen and the website, and they can find out. But I would just like to just, somebody, you know, somebody's home and they're watching a Hallmark movie or they're watching Monday Night Football, they're watching Fox News or CNN, or they're watching, what is it, HGTV, one of those stations. I think it would be good, especially right now with what's happened with the hurricane, but just what's going on in so many people's lives. I mean, I think people have things going on in their lives that we have absolutely no idea what they're facing. And I'm not going to embarrass any. I know that's true. We have a member of our praise team tonight. I'm not calling his name or embarrassing him. But earlier this week, his brother, and I think I have my facts right, 35 years of age, died of brain cancer. And I called him last night, my friend, just to tell him I was praying for him. And I certainly didn't expect him to be in church tonight, or maybe even for a week or so. I walked in tonight, they're singing the first song. I look up in the praise team in the band here, and that gentleman whose brother just died is in church tonight playing his instrument to the Lord. And so I just think, you know, to me, and like when I saw him up here tonight, I thought, I'm fixing to go up there and preach a sermon, but I've already had somebody preach one to me. Just his presence here tonight says God's grace is sufficient, and it's just a tremendous test. But I'm saying there are people out there who need to be encouraged about their own spiritual life, and they don't need to just be made to feel like that this church is doing a commercial so you could come to our church. So anyway, that was the spirit of it. So we had it set up to do today at 3 o'clock. And I knew I had 30 seconds to do the commercial, which for me, I cannot even say good evening, open your Bible in 30 seconds. Last night, 11 o'clock, 11:15, I'm getting ready for bed. Walked in my bedroom, going to just get ready. Still small voice. The voice of a gentle whisper. A dove. I knew it was God. God said, before you go to bed, why don't you get your watch and just time your commercial? And so I got my watch, and I didn't practice it. I just said, I'm going to see how long it takes for me to say what I want to say. And so there I was at home last night in front of my mirror, and I had my watch. And it took a little more than 30 seconds, not much longer, but it took a little more. And then after I said it once, I just had this thought, won't you say it again? And then I made it better. And then I had this thought, won't you say that again? I did it 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. 9, 10, 11, 12 times. And I got it pretty good. And so I knew when I went to bed last night that God had given me exactly what to say. I didn't write it down. I didn't need to because it was in my heart. Today we met at 3 o'clock. They wanted to film the commercial in the chapel because chapel's so pretty, of course. And so we did. And when we went in there, those guys, I mean, they know me and I know them. We're all friends. And they, you know, we're all thinking this is going to take 20 or 30 takes to get this thing right. And would you believe, first rattle out of the box, I didn't mess up one time. Can you? That's a miracle right there. That's a modern day miracle. Now, I say I didn't mess up. I will have to confess, we did it about 5 more times to make it even better. But the point is, I wasn't trying to figure out what I was going to say, because God had told me last night at 11 o'clock at my house, if you'll think this thing out. You know, sometimes on a project like that, I think it's true with writing. I think it's true for a deal like that. Chuck Swindoll says that thoughts disentangle themselves as they pass over the lips and through the fingertips. So sometimes you have all these thoughts and you can't get them to make sense. Well, just start saying something, and sometimes you need to write it down, and eventually it'll get clear. And so what I'm saying is, if we are sensitive, now I'm giving you 2 examples recently where thankfully I was sensitive. I could give you many other examples in my life where I was not as sensitive, where I just wasn't. But what I'm saying is, we all need to try to develop a sensitivity to God's voice. You say, well, John, I'm with you. I want to be sensitive to His voice. What does it sound like? I'll tell you what it sounds like to me. It just sounds like a thought out of the blue that I knew I didn't think of myself. And that's not a bad way to describe it, because it is out of the blue. God's in heaven. Heaven's blue. I mean, the sky's blue. So it's a thought from there that comes to here, and it's something we weren't even thinking of. Like last night when I was getting ready for bed, I wasn't thinking about the little commercial. I was thinking, I don't even know what I was thinking about. But I wasn't thinking about that, and then the thought came to my mind. And so a sensitivity, Charles Stanley says it this way. He says sometimes, well, not sometimes really, he said all the time with God, we need to have an attitude of neutrality. Now, I want to explain. I've gone. You heard about preachers chasing a rabbit. I've just gone off on one right here. He said that in the context of God's will. He said when it comes to God's will, we need to have an attitude of neutrality where we say, God, I have a desire to do this, but truth be known, I don't really care if I do that or that or that. I'm neutral. I mean, I do have a preference. I'll be honest, I have a preference. But since I'm so much more concerned with your will than my will, it's kind of like I'm in neutral and I'm willing to do this or this or this. Now, that's got to do with God's will. That's a great thing to remember. But I think sometimes our minds need to be in neutral. They need to almost be in a passive mode. You know, so many times our minds are just active. They're just always thinking. And I think sometimes we have to put our minds in neutral. And we have to just say, you know what? For right now, I'm just not going to let myself think. I do that sometimes in sermon preparation. I know you're probably thinking, yep. But I sometimes as I'm getting ready for a sermon, for example, I will, yesterday, I preached at the Tuesday Bible lunch because my dad's out of town this week. And so I knew pretty much what I wanted to say, but like when I left my house and I came to church and then I was walking from my office to the Grace Center, I did not let my mind think about the sermon. I did not want my mind doing that. I did not want to let my mind think about the sermon until I got up there and started preaching it. I mean, I had already prepared it, but I wanted my mind to be relaxed. Now, that may not even make sense to you, but what I'm saying is sometimes you have to stop thinking. You have to put your mind in neutral. And I've noticed this. When I put my mind in neutral, that's when God seems to speak to me. So if you think about what this has to do with prayer, yes, there should be times in our day where we're praying, we're talking to God. There should be some time in our day where we're reading the Bible and we're listening. So we've prayed about whatever's on our heart, we've prayed for our families, we've prayed for our church, we've prayed for our health, we've prayed for whatever we want to pray about. But see, your mind's active when you're doing that. And we've read our Bibles, okay, so our mind is active. But there needs to be another time. It doesn't have to be structured. It doesn't have to be the same time every day. It doesn't have to be long. But there needs to be some time when we just say, I'm putting my mind in neutral. I did this tonight. I left church about 5 o'clock to go get something to eat. And from the time I left church till I got back, now I don't normally do it this way, but tonight I just did. I didn't let myself think about the sermon. I just let my mind relax. And when we do that, I think that's when God will speak to us. I think this is the idea, somewhat the idea of biblical meditation. We just think, but it's not necessarily active thinking. It's just we're aware of God's presence. We're trying to be sensitive to His voice, but our minds are not so busy that we can't hear that still, small voice of God. Does that make sense? If it does, say amen. I know that's a long explanation of what I'm trying to say, but hopefully it'll make sense. Let me mention one other thing tonight about praying without ceasing. Yes, it means that we are in a spirit of prayer. We're mindful of God. Yes, it means that we're trying to be sensitive to His Spirit and to His voice. But it also means, and I want to see how I wrote this down in my notes tonight, because I want to say it how I wrote it. Yes, it means that we have the ability to see God in everything. We have the ability to see God in everything. So what this means is, if we're going to pray without ceasing, we can't just limit God to our quiet times or to our worship experiences at church. And I think a lot of times we do that. We think, okay, I'm in my prayer time. I can see God, with my eyes of faith, I'm mindful of God. We come to church, we're certainly, here, we're mindful of God. But if we're going to pray without ceasing, we have to be able to see God in every single situation of life. And so we have to be able to do that. Now, a couple of examples come to my mind that I want to share with you tonight. One is from church history, and one is something that I experienced watching somebody else do this. Back in the 1600s in Paris, France, there was a devout Christian who, he was so serious about God that he became a monk. And he lived in a monastery. And, I mean, you talk about ultimate devotion to God. And I know we have Catholic people from Catholic churches that come here and worship all the time. And I want to say to any and all Catholics tonight, any from Presbyterian, Methodist, Episcopalian, non-denominational, charismatic, Pentecostal backgrounds, those of us who have maybe grown up in a Baptist church all of our life, like for us to come to a Baptist church, it's just like normal. It's like what we've always done. But I think sometime when a Catholic or somebody from another denomination comes like to here, it's kind of like a big deal because you're like, wow, I'm going to a different denomination. And I want to say to you tonight a couple of things. First of all, we're glad you're here. That's the first thing I want to say. And the second thing I want to say is, the most important thing is not your denomination or our denomination. The most important thing is Jesus. And I know it's a Wednesday night and the crowd's not as big on Wednesday as they are on Sunday. I need to remember to say this sometime on Sunday. We've said it before, I just haven't said it in a while. But I want to say to you tonight, to the Catholics and all the other denominations, Church of Christ, Church of God, whatever it may be, you are welcome here at First Baptist Church. It's not the name on the door that means anything. It's whether or not we have Jesus Christ living in our hearts. Amen? Isn't that true? And so I want to say that tonight. That won't, to most of you, that didn't even apply. But to some of you, you're glad I said it because now I made you feel more at home, right? I made you feel more welcome. At least I hope I did. But the monks, those people were primarily Catholics. And so he was very devout and loved God with all of his heart. Well, when he got in that monastery, and they would have set times of prayer and meditation, but Brother Lawrence said to himself, he said, I want to get it in my own life where everything I do is an expression of worship and praise to God. not just my Bible reading, not just my prayers, not just worshiping with others, but everything. And so in this monastery, he was assigned to work in the kitchen. That meant he had to cook food, he had to clean up the kitchen, he had to clean up behind everybody, clean up the floors. He had to do everything he had to do in the kitchen. And so he had superiors, because you know in a monastery they have levels and, you know, chain of command like you would anywhere else. And so his superiors would say, "Brother Lawrence, do this, do that, do this, do that." And at first it frustrated him. And it made him feel like, man, what's this got to do with God? But he said he wanted to get to a place where he could worship God just as much cleaning the kitchen as he did if he were on his knees praying. And so that was what he set out to do. In fact, he mastered this so well that a book was written about him, one of the greatest books I've ever read, called Practicing the Presence of God. And it's written based on his life and how he practiced God's presence and practiced worshiping God, doing everything. And so as I think about that, I think that applies to us. Many of you work in the plants. When you're out there at those plants, you can't be, if you're reading your Bible when you should be watching that instrument panel, you may blow the whole town up. I mean, you've got to be paying attention to what you're doing. An airplane pilot up there in the air can't be memorizing scripture verses while he's flying a plane. And neither can a surgeon, or neither can a dentist, or neither can a school teacher. You have to be able to concentrate and focus on what you're doing. I'm not up here having a quiet time tonight. I'm not up here trying to memorize scripture in my subconscious while I'm talking to you. My mind is very engaged in the fact that I'm teaching a Bible study and you're listening to it. So like I'm right in the moment. And yet, whatever our profession or job is, we should be able to do this and still be able to worship God as we do it. And that's what Brother Lawrence said. He said, "I want my scrubbing the kitchen floors, cooking all these meals, setting the tables, I want to do this as unto the Lord. I want to be able to see God in the kitchen, on the kitchen floor. I want to be able to see this as a different type of a way to pray." Maybe that's the way I should say it. It's a different way to pray. Yeah, we think of the traditional ways of, you know, "Lord, here's what's on my heart." And that's certainly how we should pray as well. But also these other ways are just different ways to pray and different ways to commune and to honor the Lord. Now, to speed that illustration up by about 310 years, when I was at New Orleans Seminary, I had a professor for one of my seminars named Dr. Daniel Holcomb. Dr. Holcomb taught in the church history department there at New Orleans, one of the godliest men that I have ever met. Just had a gentle countenance about him, loved the Lord, and I was impressed and blessed by his seminar. One night in that class, it was an evening class, as I recall, that I had with him, he was lecturing on worshiping God. It was a very practical lecture. And he started telling this story how after he and his wife had only been married for a very few years, they had about 3 or 4 kids. And one night about 8 or 9 o'clock, he was in the nursery room of their house or one of the baby's bedrooms, and he was changing a dirty diaper. And he loved the baby, he loved his wife, he thanked God for his kids. But as he was changing that diaper, in the back of his mind, he was thinking, as much as I love my child, as much as I love my wife, as thankful as I am for all these blessings God has given me and my family, I need to be studying, because he was probably a seminary student at that time. I need to be studying. I need to be reading. I need to be writing a paper. I need to get ready for this test. He was probably pastoring a church. I need to get my sermon ready. I need to get ready for the funeral I'm preaching at tomorrow. He's thinking, I've got all these things to do. And yet here I stand changing the baby's diaper. And so changing the diaper, he said, God, you know I love my family, and you know I view each one of these children as a blessing from you. And God, I don't mind changing a dirty diaper. But in my heart of hearts, I feel like I need to be spending more time worshiping you. And now I've got all these family responsibilities, And I just don't seem to have as much time to worship you as I would if I didn't have all these responsibilities. And he's telling us this story. And he said to us, and it made such an impact on me. Now, this was probably back in 1998, 1999, so we're getting close to 20 years ago when I heard this lecture. But he said it with such sincerity, and it was so genuine, and it was so impassioned. He said as he was in that their home changing that child's diaper, it was like God spoke to him. And God said, Daniel, you are worshiping me. You're just worshiping me in a different way right now. But you're doing exactly what I want you to be doing. God would not have a parent to neglect a child so the parent can go have a quiet time. That would not be what God would want. What God would want would be for that parent to be as good of a parent as he or she could be, try to do the best they can by having a quiet time whenever they can. But what God would want that parent to do is to view the parenting responsibilities as a way of worshiping God. See, that's what I mean, to see God in everything. That's what part of what Paul meant when he said, pray without ceasing. Because, hey, folks, let's face it, in life, I mean, if you're a parent, there are diapers to change. If you've got a job, there's work to do. And you have to do all those things. But if you can do what Brother Lawrence figured out how to do, and what God was telling Dr. Holcomb to do, and that is to see God in everything and to see your job, to see your family responsibilities as another way of worshiping God. Yeah, it's different than reading Ephesians. It's different than reading through one of these booklets we prepare for you. It's a different way of worshiping God. But hey, folks, let's face it. If we're going to pray without ceasing, we've got to find a lot of different ways to worship God, because we're not always having our quiet times. And so I'm hopeful that some of the things I've shared to you tonight will help you. Now, I would say, can you give me just one more minute? If you can, say amen. You can't see my notes tonight, but just so you'll know that you're living under the blessing and favor of God and that God's being good to you tonight, I have just now completed the first half of my sermon. And I'm gonna leave the second half for another night. So what I'm saying, count your blessings. But I want to show you one other thing. And maybe I'll finish this, I don't know, maybe that was just for me. But go back, you're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to show you something that will help you to pray without ceasing. Now remember how I've defined that, three separate ways. And that is that we are, first of all, we're always in a spirit of prayer. We're sensitive to God's still small voice. And we're asking God to help us to see Him in everything so that all these other things we have to do in life are just different ways to worship God. Now, again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, here's our verse, pray without ceasing. Say it again, pray without ceasing. But I want you to notice that that verse is the second phrase of a long sentence. Notice verse 16, which is where this sentence begins. It says, rejoice always. And notice verse 18, where the sentence ends. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Isn't it interesting? Verse 17, pray without ceasing. That's the command, see? That's the imperative. That's what God is telling us to do. Pray without ceasing. But before that main part of that verse, and after the main part of that verse, we have some things that we can do that will help us to pray without ceasing. First of all, rejoice always. And second of all, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. How can we pray without ceasing? Well, certainly you take everything I've said tonight, you try to incorporate that in your life, just like I'm trying to incorporate that in my life. But in addition to that, you say, God, help me to rejoice always. Another sermon for another night. But that's a mouthful right there for a two-word verse. Rejoice always. Doesn't matter what's going on. If our joy's in Jesus, we can always find a reason to rejoice. And then, in everything, give thanks. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So think about it. If you are always rejoicing in the Lord, and if you are always thanking God for all of your blessings, I mean, just for everything you have, if you're always doing that, you're going to be praying without ceasing, because there's always going to be a reason to rejoice, and there's always going to be something to be thankful for. And so if you'll do those things, I almost think you would automatically pray without ceasing. And yet, if you fail to rejoice always and you fail to thank God for all of His blessings, I don't think you could pray without ceasing even if you tried. I think it would be dry. I think it would be contrived. I think it would be forced. I don't think you'd do it over the long haul. But if you have an attitude that says, you know what? God's been good to me. Jesus Christ living in my heart. I love Him with everything I have. I'm rejoicing in Him all day long. And not only that, look at all the blessings God's given to me. All the goodness God has displayed to me. I'm going to be thankful all day long. Hey, if you're rejoicing and thanking God like that, you are praying. You're praying without ceasing and you didn't even know it. And so let's take all these verses together. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, for easy memorization purposes, on that 18th verse, let's make it shorter. In everything, give thanks. Okay? So, the three main verses, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything, give thanks. Think we can say that together? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything, give thanks. Let's see if you can do it by yourself. Ready? And everything. Rejoice. I was trying to think of an acrostic for that. Rejoice. So R-P-I. I'm glad it's not R-I-P, aren't you? That'd be bad. How was the sermon tonight? John told us to R-I-P. Man, that was depressing. No, it's R-P-I. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Amen. Father, help us to do that. We have every reason to be joyful. We have every reason to be thankful. You've given us so much. And God, we ask you tonight to help us to pray without ceasing. God, help us to always be in a spirit of prayer. Make us sensitive to your still small voice. And God, give us the ability to see you in everything. So whether it's changing a diaper, whether it's getting a car fixed, whether it's cleaning up a house after a flood, whether it's going to Shell in the morning, whether it's teaching school tomorrow, whether it's picking up a grandchild after school tomorrow, whether it's working as a nurse or a receptionist or an office worker, whether it's being a college student going home tonight to read a chapter or maybe prepare for a test tomorrow, whatever our responsibilities might be in life, that we would view that as a different way to worship you, so that it wouldn't just be dry and separated out from you. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, if you have never been saved, that's what you have to do before you can do all these other things. That's step one. And so if you don't know for sure that Jesus Christ is living in your heart, would you just pray this prayer right now? Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to forgive my sins. I ask you to make me a Christian. I ask you to save me, Jesus. And I trust you to do it. Welcome to my heart. Begin now to make me the person that you want me to be. In your name I pray, and all the people said, Amen.